Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're at Hermitage Golf Course, Pella Windows and Doors Golf Tournament out here today, which is always a great thing, benefiting where is that coming from? The voice of God going on right now. Benefiting breast cancer research. So we appreciate them for having us out here today. You were just saying something to me that all I heard was Restrepo.
Yeah, baby. I think one of the receivers is on the – is it Bryce Oliver or one of the receivers is on the injury report, did not practice yesterday. Dr. Crane, you ready for this?
Cough, cough.
Catch a strep, people. Bring him up. Bring Restrepo up. Let's go. If Oliver's out, Van Jefferson's on the witness protection program. I'm not sure Calvin Ridley's going to do this week. DK needs to worry about returning punts and kickoffs. Bring up Restrepo. I'm going to keep saying it again and again. And don't text me about he runs the 40 and 5.9. I don't care. The fact that he gets open, he's done at every level. I didn't know this. Restrepo has more catches at Miami than Michael Irvin does. He's a leading receiver. That's what I was told in University of Miami football history. The guy has fought the negativity's entire career. Put him out there on Sunday. You have Brian Callahan, you have nothing to lose. You got a guy out there that Ward can depend on. And I'm pretty damn sure Restrepo is going to run the right route, unlike Ridley, Io Manor, and whoever else they throw out there.
Here's the deal. This is what I'm going to say to you. I mean, maybe they do it this week. I don't know. But let's say they don't and they lose and they go 0-3. Call him up, put him in there. Have a set number of plays for him to be in, and basically it's the, all right, go out and prove it. And if he sucks, then you cut him and you move on, and I never want to hear his name again.
You first of all, you'll watch your mouth because I'll bring it up all the time. Secondly, I agree with you. I put him out there. Let him do it. I mean, then you're 0-3, and you're getting zero value and production out of your receivers. Again, here's a guy that's beating the odds at every level of his football, and don't come at me, it's the NFL. I saw a guy the Titans brought in 2001 as an undrafted free agent who barely caught a pass in college and got the opportunity and turned out to be one of the best receivers the Titans have ever had, Drew Bennett. And now is Restrepo that? I don't know, but I'd like to find out. I think he gives damn good effort. If you put him out there on Sunday, why not? I'm telling you put him out there. What if they put him out there? And I tell people this all the time. Because obviously our default in our brain is to go negative on anything. That's not going to work. I don't figure it out. Blah, blah, blah. What if? And I said it last week. Restrepo gets in, and it turns out better than you imagined. Let's think about that for a second. What if it turns out better than you imagine? He comes in and say he catches a 45-yard slant pass and scores and they win the game? I'm telling you, I will be a force to be reckoned with. I won't shut up.
Already won't shut up about it.
I'll be screaming for the mountaintop. Why not? Guys want opportunities. That guy needs an opportunity because I'm not seeing anything else of your receivers right now. I'm not. Nothing.
Look, in the grand scheme of things, like I just want them to win a game, so I don't care. Like if they call him up and he has three catches for 25 yards, like great. You know, if they win the game, that's what I want. But I mean, I do have the concerns about the speed that can he keep up with or can he outrun some of these corners that he's going to be up against, because if I'm seeing him come on the field, you know, I'm putting my best guy on him because you think you can probably shut him down.
Good. Good. Put your best guy on our guy. Yeah. That frees up somebody else to make a play.
That frees up Ridley to drop the ball.
Put your Charles Woodson on my guy as a decoy. Even better. That frees somebody else up. But I'm telling you, and Chris and Derek will tell you this, football speed and track speed are two different things. You know, I bring up Jerry Rice all the time.
Yep.
Ran a 4.65 in the 40. I talked to Floyd Reese one time about they timed Jerry Rice in a cow pasture. and I said, what was that like for it? He's like, whether he ran in a cow pasture or on a track or an Olympic venue, that dude had it. You just knew he had it. And a 4.65 was not going to sway us any other way. You just knew he had it. So put him out in the field. If Restrepo can, if it's 3rd and 11, he gets me 13, move the chains. Move the chains down the field. You've got nothing to lose except another game. Why would you not want to put a guy in there who could bring a little fire to you? Plus, yeah, he is Cam's buddy.
Yeah.
Right? Cam knows what he's doing. How many times did he bail Cam Ward out at Miami? Several.
Do you, Do you think – I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I hate when you play that because you haven't won a Golden Globe yet.
It's my favorite saying.
To be nominated.
Do you think that maybe they're – part of the reason they're holding back Restrepo is they want Cam to find other options
and not
go to the safety blanket?
I hope they're holding Restrepo back because they feel the other receivers they got on the team are better than him. But they've showed that they're not.
Yeah.
So, Van Jefferson, non-existent. Bryce Oliver.
Two targets less?
Bryce Oliver. Huh? Who? Where? Ridley. I'm afraid to throw the ball to him because he's going to drop the ball. I mean, there's nobody that's – they might scare you on this team.
No.
Should the Colts be scared of anybody?
Like, I respect Simmons, but
– offensive-wise.
Oh, offensive-wise, no.
Nobody scares you.
I respect Pollard.
I mean,
they didn't scare me.
And Restrepo's like a little gnat.
I respect Cam, but he's still earning it.
Yeah, he's earning it. Gets under your skin, and you dump it off. I mean, why not? He knows the role. He knows the routes. He's been here since May. That means he's 4 months into the system. You got nothing to lose. Nissan Stadium would go crazy if he caught a pass for a first down. They go crazy.
Oh, I think so, too.
We love underdogs. We love guys of our own who have said, no, you will never make it. We love the Rocky stories. That's a Rocky story.
We love silly underdogs presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Is that today?
No, it was yesterday.
Okay.
5:20. Wednesday.
Derek Mason said he should have taken MTSU last week. He's like, I should have do it, Derek. Yeah. When they're underdogs, you should have done that, buddy.
Thomas in Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, again, I totally agree. What do they have to lose? Give the kid a chance. At least you will know whether he can play or not. You get so tired of hearing about his 40 run time at the combine. Game speed is totally different than that. 9355, Callahan needs to hold an open tryout for the surrounding Nashville area. We need a Vince Papale.
Can you imagine Ricky Merritt running a crossing route?
I can't imagine Ricky Merritt running across the living room.
Right? Oh, my gosh. They should totally. What's that to hurt? You might find a Vince Papaya out there somewhere. Oh, my gosh.
Robert says all he needs to do is create separation and catch the ball.
That's
it. He doesn't have to outrun them.
Thank you, Robert. That's it. And you can figure out the rest. You think Wes Welker ran a 3.840? No. Edelman? No. Mariani? No. They just got open.
Well, he did it. My thing is, he just didn't look good in training camp. I mean, the opportunities he got, he didn't look
good. Yeah, when you had Tim Boyle throw you in the ball, I'd rather you throw me the ball. I can catch a duck if you throw it to me. He had Tim Boyle throwing the football.
Have you seen me throw the ball?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I offended ducks. I apologize. But, yeah, get him out there with his – I saw him in Miami versus very good college teams. Versus Florida last year, versus Cal on the road.
Was he on the team that Middle beat?
Yes.
He was?
Yeah, he was there for you. Van Pelt. Was it Brian Van Pelt or
Scott
Alex Van
Pelt?
Van Pelt's son?
Okay.
The former Pittsburgh Pirate, Pittsburgh Panther quarterback. That's who it was. So he was on the team.
Okay.
But why, I'm telling you, why not, man? If you give me a good reason, why not, I'll listen to you. But there's not one right now. Because the receivers are non-existent. Van Jefferson was on the cover of my milk carton this morning, along with Bryce Oliver and whomever else they got out there. But, I mean, DK, great. Concentrate on returning the ball. That's your job. Iu Manor, I love what you're doing. Keep working hard, buddy. Ridley, maybe one day you'll catch a pass over the middle. Highly doubt it, but you never know.
615-737-1025. Joe is still on the Restrepo bandwagon, and I think I'm going to call Brian Callahan and say, please do it just so he'll let this go. I would appreciate it.
If you don't mind. Dr. Crane, what's our catchphrase again for Restrepo?
It's a sickness you want to have, baby.
Catch the strip.
X marks a spot.
The catch. Damn it, we rehearsed this. X marks the catch.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You sounded so defeated.
We work on this at the pre-show meetings.
By the way, two things. Yesterday, Dr. Crane brought us some pizza from Nico's, which is his pizza place.
So good.
Tell us a little more about it because it was fantastic.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's just my little food tent thing. It's a taste of old Nashville coming back, hopefully.
Okay.
So my grandparents had a restaurant called Lorenzo's, and it's my ultimate goal to kind of bring it back. So bringing back a taste of old Nashville.
Nico, and that's you, and we love that. So
speaking of bring it back, Matt Saggio stole two pieces of pizza off my desk. So, Matt, I allowed you one, but you took another, and I saw you do it, and you didn't say a word. Okay, that's just for me. I had to get it out in the open to feel better.
I'm just going to let that one sit there for a second. we'll have more coming from Hermitage Golf Course here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah.
Hey, the Commodores return to First Bank Stadium this Saturday, and they'll take on Georgia State pregame at 5 and kickoff at 6:30 on 102.5 The Game. Vandy Football presented by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Speaking of Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, that's where DVD is going to be tomorrow from 3 to 6 as they celebrate the opening of the all-new rooftop dining area. Mm. It's also a great place that you can go before or after the big Vanderbilt game coming up Saturday night.
Oh, like I love Jimmy Kelly's.
Oh, who doesn't?
I love Jimmy Kelly's.
That was that is the McCabe big – or was before my dad passed away, but the McCabe big celebration spot.
Nice.
Birthdays, anniversaries, what have you.
And now they got a rooftop?
Yeah.
Oh, man, even better. It's really, really – it's Nashville, which is good about that. All right, so let me ask you a question. I'm very positive in everything I do. I like positivity for the most part. What coach can I not stand at any level?
Trent Dilfer.
Who do they play Saturday?
Tennessee.
I need Heupel and Josh. We met you at SEC Media Days. We all became buddies. I need you to drop 125 on UAB on Saturday. I need you to punish Trent Dilfer on Saturday. People are like, why don't you like Trent Dilfer? When he came to Lipscomb Academy, he made it about himself. Now, why we like high school football, it's pure. It's about the kids. It's about the kids and the communities. And we got some great high school coaches in Middle Tennessee. Dilfer was the 180 of all that. He was about me. And I think he ruined Lipscomb's program for not now, but at the time he was there, what he's done, he ruined that. And now he goes to UAB and thinks he can take the same garbage to UAB, and he's been an abject disaster at UAB because you can't be about yourself. It's about loving on these kids. Yeah, you got to be tough on them, but you cannot install yourself as the biggest thing ever. And it's going wrong. I need Heupel to put UAB fans out of their misery tomorrow and show Dilfer hit the road, pal.
Well, look, I like it when these former athletes, you know, go to high schools and coach and all of that. I mean, we see what Tim Hasselbeck's doing at Innsworth.
Who does he mention every week first?
The kids.
It's about the kids. Not about him.
Yeah. No, 100%. Right? I mean, his brother is there, and Ben Jones and Leroy Harris and others. His dad was helping coach and all that stuff. So, I mean, I appreciate it, but I agree, you know, it's not about the coach. And this goes for – I mean, it doesn't – look, I think Kevin Creasy, who never played a down in the NFL, you know, he puts the kids first. I mean, he makes the program about them.
And they know where they are. I mean, like, if you call Kevin Creasy or, I don't know, the Kreiskys at Blackman or Riverdale, whoever, Coach Crouch at Green Hill, doesn't matter.
Coach Brunetti.
They'll call you back.
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, you know, because they know it's about the kids, right?
Right.
With Dilfer, I had to go through his PR firm.
Yep.
I'm not doing that. I'll show up and say, I'm going to go and give you, you know, 45 seconds on the news. Well, I clear the PR. I'm not doing that. It's high school football. It's pure. So if Heupel could do that tomorrow and put 125 on that in the misery, be done with it, I'm good. But, you know, you talk about these other coaches. They put the kids first. It's about the kids. It's about growing young men. With Dilfer, was never about that at Lipscomb. It's not about that at UAB. I mean, they can't stand him, and I can't stand him. And I hope, literally, I mean, I tell you all the time, if I'm playing you in not high school, but in college and the pros, I'm going to run the score upon you. Why?
Because I can. Because you want everybody to play.
Yeah, I'm going to run the score upon you.
Yeah.
You want to stop me? Stop me.
Right.
When Baker Mayfield planted the flag at Ohio State, I cheered. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's bad sportsmanship. You know what? Win the game.
Yep.
Don't let me do that. Don't let Sidney Crosby skate around Bridgestone with the cup.
Right.
Right? Don't do that. I don't mind. I'm going to beat the snot out of you. That's what it is. That's competition. So if Dilfer can go up there and get his butt handed to him, I'll be really, really happy on Saturday.
615-737-1025.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Trent, 3480 goes, Trent Dilfer is absolutely the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. Prove me wrong.
Oh, my God. What a great question.
I mean, you got
– Roethlisberger in 05, I think he went 9 for 20 in that game.
Well, I think he's talking overall. Like, Dilfer and Brad Johnson are always the answer to the trivia questions of, like, you know, kind of not mainstream quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl because their defense won it.
Yeah, that's a great – on my mind, I'm going back to all the Super Bowl winners. You're right.
Well, I mean, you got Nick Foles.
Flacco? Would you put Flacco in there in 12?
No, I mean, Flacco's better than
– That's a great question.
Flacco's still in the league. So, I mean, I think that goes for something.
Nick Foles, yeah.
Nick Foles is one. I mean
– I wouldn't classify him worst. Nick was okay. He got the job done.
No, yeah. I mean, he could actually run – I mean, I think we can agree that the Bucs or the 2000 Ravens don't win the Super Bowl if not for those defenses.
Yeah. I think you could be quarterback.
Yeah.
And I say that in an endearing term. You could have been quarterback for the Ravens or the
I would take that Bucs defense over the Ravens defense.
Not a chance in hell.
No.
They're good. Their 0-2 Bucs is good, that Ravens defense.
I mean, they had how many Hall of Famers? Mm-hmm. Derek Brooks.
Sapp.
Lynch.
Barber. Yeah, that's right. Four.
Yeah.
Ravens, Ed Reed.
Ray Lewis.
We're leaving somebody out. Don't hate us, Ravens fans.
Oh, yeah, we are. They had a really good offensive line.
Who's the big man that passed away in the middle?
Saragusa.
He's not a Hall of Famer, but he was damn good.
Yeah.
Occupied. Suggs on that team in 2000?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a good question, man. But they, I mean, that Ravens, that playoff game in January of 01 was something else.
Titans could have beaten them, though, if Ray Lewis doesn't rip the soul out of Eddie George.
Right. Oh, my God.
Let's see. Hang on. I
vividly remember that play.
So your defense, Ray Lewis, Chris McAllister? Was he good?
He was good. Net Hall of Famer.
Rod Woodson was on that team.
Hall of Famer.
Offensive line, Ogden was on that
Hall
team.
Hall of Famer, yep. Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis.
Really good.
Dilfer.
Blech.
Yeah, I feel like we are forgetting some.
Ed Reed. Did Ed Reed pull up?
I don't know if Ed Reed was on that team.
He wasn't drafted yet.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
He's on the 12 team.
Thanks to David Janes.
Thank you.
David Janes.
And because Ray was pretty young.
That would have been his fifth year in the league, I think.
Yeah. He was 25.
So what made him so damn good?
I don't know. Ray Lewis. Kevin says... I'm detecting Big Joe would not hang out with Dilford Applebee's on a Friday night for half price late night apps.
Oh, I'd love to have a word with him. Absolutely have a word with him.
Josh said Brad Johnson in Tampa.
Peter Boulware was on the Ravens. Ray Lewis, Jamie Sharper was a good outside linebacker. Corey Harris was on there, former Vanderbilt player, was on that team. Kim Herring was a strong safety on that. Dwayne Starks was really good. Rod Woodson was really good.
One texter says Rod Woodson is the greatest corner of all time. Prove me wrong.
It's pretty good. And former Henry County Patriot John Hudson, who's now a football coach in Henry County, was the long snapper on that Ravens team.
Oh, wow.
He graduated with me in high school. He played at Auburn back in the late 80s. Name recognition. The Bucs have put more in, but I think the Ravens 2000 team was the best scoring defense, if I recall, of all time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Coming up next, we'll continue this discussion out here at Hermitage Golf Course, the great golf tournament by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. By the way, we had some fun the other night at ML Rose, the new one in East Nashville.
We did.
We enjoyed the wings. You enjoyed the pretzel bites in the queso. Yes, you did.
I didn't let you have a single one of them.
No, you did not. You were like slapping my hand.
But that's a great location.
It's awesome. It is a tremendous location. So we appreciate them for having us out there. And we'll definitely be going back.
We'll be doing more work over it. Plus the general manager, Umel Rose.
Yeah.
Where did he go to high school?
McGavick.
McGavick. Yeah. I'm telling you, you'll learn everything good came out of McGavick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah. It was good. Really cool to be out there for sure. We'll have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On to my door, then we kissed a little more. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday out at Hermitage Golf Course. You know, one of the positives with the Titans has been the special teams in John Fossil, a.k.a. Bones Fossil. And Ryan wants to talk about Bones Fossil here on the show. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
If they get rid of Callahan, John Fossil needs to be the interim head coach. He's brought so much value to the special teams. He would be the perfect fit for the head coaching position for the interim if they let go of Callahan.
All right, thanks for the call. He was the interim coach with the Rams when Jeff Fisher was let go from there. We've talked to Jeff about him and the impact that he had when he was with the Rams. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on that, not because he's a special teams coach, but because that's the one area that's actually good right now. I mean, some defensively, but I don't want to upset that apple cart. So I would rather keep him and his staff where they are and make somebody like Mike McCoy, who's a senior offensive assistant, make him the interim.
I totally agree with you. And in fact, I mean, does he even want it?
Well, who knows? Yeah. I mean, the other thing, yes, you have seen like Bones Fossil and then what's his name? When Gruden was let go or resigned with the Raiders, Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
He was a special teams coach. And, you know, you've said this about John Harbaugh quite a bit. A lot of times the reason that the special teams coach gets put in that position is because they touch pretty much every player on the team, every aspect of the team. So they know everyone. And you can, in some cases, have the opportunity to keep the OC and the DC where they are. You know, look, if they make a coaching change here, the offensive coordinator is gone because he's the head coach. The guy that has the title of offensive coordinator is probably gone because he's really close with the head coach. The O-line coach is gone because he's the head coach's father.
Dada.
So, I mean, I think right there you're replacing three people.
Yep.
But again, I think you go Mike McCoy is the interim, and you can put who's the quarterback's coach?
Bo Hardigree
as the OC.
Correct.
And have him call the plays.
Yeah, so. I mean, when Winston Hunt got fired, Malarkey got bumped up, Jason Michaels became – he was a tight end coach – became the play caller. Yep. And they won their first game. And, you know, they had a lot of momentum. I know they had a number one pick again in 2016. They traded out of it. But it felt different watching that team after Winston Hunt was gone in 2015. It just felt different. Like, all right, what we think was good wasn't good, was gone, and now we got the good – Chase, that guy looks like you. And that guy looks like me at the very end there. Poor guy. Golf cart tilting to the left. And it just, I don't know, it felt different. Look, you can't keep going on with this. We're not going to talk again all day like we've done all week about firing a coach. But at some point, you got to see improvement. And right now, they're going backwards. And so he's 3-16 as a head coach. I mean, that's pretty bad. And we got to start seeing signs of improvement. And don't give me the 3 or 4 years. You can see improvement in year two. You can't. And I know a lot of guys, he didn't. I get that. But you see what it is.
It's always funny when I see things on Twitter that I want to bring to Big Joe's attention that just will make him laugh.
That does make me laugh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right? But just win Sunday. Just win.
Because here's the other thing that we haven't talked about a whole lot. They're doing something Sunday that I have absolutely no problem with, that I think is a really cool gesture that was announced that the day this guy said he was going home to Rocky Top, and that is – they are putting Mike Keith in the Ring of Honor for the Tennessee Titans. And I think that is a wonderful thing. I think it's going to draw people in. And you're doing it against a division rival with that will be cool. But I'm so happy for Mike. Congratulations to Mike. You know, he's done a great job so far as the voice of the Vols. But he will have his spot, you know, with Fisher and Reese and McNair and Wycheck and George, and hopefully one day Bullock and Mason and others.
Can we talk about Mike Keith for 1 second? And look,
I just did that, but yeah, sure.
But in a different way. We know Mike, right? Mike has been so generous talking to you, to Greg Pogue, to me about the world of being an announcer and play-by-play when he didn't have – it reminded me of the story of John Ward, or people would send John Ward a tape. He'd write, you know, a little critique and send it back to him. And Mike is the same way. Mike has been so gracious with his time, especially with me over the last 30 years, that I can't thank him enough. And I think the world of Mike Keith, just because he's a good man. And that's the point I want to get across.
615-737-1025. Trey wants to weigh in on the Titans talk. Trey, what's up?
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
Doing fine.
Hey, I want to ask you, okay, if Cam Ward continuously, you know, I know he is improving a little bit upwards, but if he continuously to play the way that he's playing, do you think we need to go out and get a veteran quarterback at the wire?
Well, Trey, he's playing pretty good, so yeah, I don't know why you would want to do that.
I'm just saying for backup, though.
Oh, as a backup? I mean, if he's playing well and he's healthy, then no. I wouldn't.
Okay. All right. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Trey. Yep. Appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate the call. Appreciate the question. But no, I wouldn't waste an asset on doing that.
Exactly.
I mean, if your guy's staying on the field and he's playing well, then you don't worry about it. The backup's sitting there holding the clipboard.
That's right.
Which is what you want
to do. And nobody's really claiming to be on the Titans if you're a backup on another team at 0-2.
Kevin in Florida, who is a loyal listener, but he likes to disagree with us sometimes, says, leave Callahan alone. Clark Lee went 2-10, 5-7, and 2-10 again his first 3 years. College football and pro football are two very, very different things.
So, all right. Callahan goes 3-14 last year. Say he goes 4-13 this year, 3-14 next year. You gonna give him a fourth year?
Nope.
You ain't giving him half the second year.
No.
Kevin, nope. We love you, brother. We love you, but it ain't happening.
It is more about – okay, here's where I'll make the comparison. Clark Lee got to Vanderbilt, and that cupboard was bare. There was nothing. I mean, he had nothing to work with. That was a program completely in a rebuild. They go 2-10, and then, yeah, they get some guys in through the portal and, you know, do a little bit better at 5-7, but then they kind of went to the same thing again. He changed the way that he did some stuff, brought in Jerry Kill, brought in Tim Beck, obviously got Diego Pavia, and it made that place a complete 180.
Yeah.
Made it pop, and so he's riding that momentum and doing a good job doing it. The NFL, you got to build through the draft, and unfortunately, this team has to be bad in order to get those draft picks and build through the draft, and that's basically what they've been. But the head coach can't be a part of the problem of you losing games, and I believe the head coach has been a part of the problem of them losing games.
You just summed that up perfectly, my friend. Perfectly.
Clay has a Titans comment. Hello, Clay.
Boys, how we doing?
We're good.
Uh-oh, Dr. Crane throws in the dynamite now.
Yeah. All right, what you got, Clay?
Big Joe, I got a question for you. Question of the day. Question of the day.
Sure.
Do the Titans win a football game?
They'll win three games this year, believe it or not. But that's it.
3-14 again. What do you say, Chase?
I'm kind of with him. I had given him 6 wins, and I'm definitely taking that back now. So I will say maybe 3, but that might be generous.
Seriously, guys, you know, I think Cam, look at the throw he made to tie the game at 10. You know, scrambling around to the right towards the sideline, throws it back across his body, gets it over the – I mean, that's a hard throw. This guy's got ability, but you've got to put people around him where he can make plays, and you've got to have better coaching. I mean, come on. Right?
You're right, Clay. Yeah, man.
I mean,
that was a tough throw he made.
Is Callahan the true offense coordinator? Is he calling the play?
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, I try to be positive. I want the Titans to, you know, be good. I want them to win a championship in the city. But I tell you, man, it's going to be a long year. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Clay. Appreciate
Thanks, pal.
It. See you, boys.
Yep, good. Good stuff.
Jimmy.
Clay. Coming up next, we'll put a bow on things, tell you what day it is, and celebrity birthdays, and the mashup. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Hermitage Golf Course today. We've enjoyed being out here. Pella Windows and Doors does their golf tournament, their annual golf tournament. We have some people playing in it and raising money for breast cancer awareness. You know, we're getting into those months, but really it should be every month. I mean, that's, you know, one thing. I've obviously my dad, but I've had other family members succumb to cancer. We know so many people that have that it should always be on top of minds, but Pella doing a great job.
Yes, and directly, we all know somebody has been affected with breast cancer, and anything you do research wise or give money to help, do that and battle that. Amen.
Yeah, I am with you on that. So, with that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. And of course, it is brought to you by our friends at Jarrett Companies. As my computer just took the read away from me. Thank you for doing that. Jarrett Companies, Inc., the backbone of Middle Tennessee construction scene since 1997. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right. First list, we have Chiropractic Founders Day. So shout out to those. Shout out to Don. First Love Day is today. Let's see. Free Queso Day is today. So if you go to a restaurant, I wonder if they do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hug a Greeting like Card queso. Writer Day. Interesting. International
welcome,
Equal Pay Day. International Read an E-Book Day. A few books out there you might read.
Nice.
Let's see. Rice Krispies Treat Day. Okay, love me some of those. National Respect Day. National Red Velvet Cake Day. Delicious. World Bamboo Day. World Water Monitoring Day. So we're just going to water and monitor water. I don't know. All right. National Cheeseburger Day is today. And to wrap it up, we have National HIV AIDS and Aging Awareness Day. So make sure you worry about that.
All right, here time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Here we go. First birthday. He is not a beauty school dropout, but how old is Frankie Avalon? He sang the song in Greece.
Yeah. 67.
70.
85. Dr. Crane, you go first. Holly Pete, Rodney Pete's wife.
62.
71.
61. Dr. Crane's on the board. Chase, you go first. I need to keep my wife's name out your mouth. Jada Smith.
46.
52.
54. Dr. Crane's up 2-0. Dr. Crane, you go first. Actor James Marsden.
70.
64.
52. He married a girl from Mount Juliet High School, by the way. Mm. Chase, you go first. Jason Sudeikis.
58.
54.
50. Dr. Crane, you go now. Gospel singer, Nashville legend, Bobby Jones.
62.
74.
87. Chase, you go. Rapper Exhibit.
Ooh.
53.
58.
51. Chaser's on the board. Dr. Crane, you go now. Ricky Bell from Bell Biv DeVoe.
55. 55.
That's a good guess. 56.
58. We're tied at two. Chaser, one of your favorite actors, Patrick Schwarzenegger. How old is Pat Schwarzenegger from White Lotus?
42.
50.
32. Lance, Chase, you go now. Lance Armstrong.
53.
57.
54. Chasers storms back 3-2. Dr. Crane, you go first. Scotty Bowman, legendary NHL coach. Scotty Bowman.
68.
82. 92. Chaser, you go first here. One of my favorite football players of all time, Otis Sistrunk from the Raiders.
67.
64.
79. Chaser, you go first again. Rick Pitino.
73
exactly. Chase up 5-2. Dr. Crane, you go first. Former Ole Miss, Auburn, head football coach Tommy Tuberville, now senator from Alabama.
I go first.
Dr. Crane.
63?
That's a good guess. I'll say 62.
71. Dr. Crane, you again. Heisman Trophy winner, Oklahoma football legend, Billy Sims.
51.
Billy Sims is... But I went first.
Dr. Crane did.
He went twice first. Billy Sims is 63.
70. Chase, you go first here. Tony Kukoc, former Chicago Bull player.
61.
62.
57. Chase, you go first again here. Ronaldo. By the way, you're up 5-2. Ronaldo. I guess he's some soccer player.
He is. 39.
Which one?
Ronaldo.
There's a Brazilian and a Portuguese one.
Look, man.
Cristiano?
No, it's not that one.
The Brazilian one.
This
okay.
guy's older.
So I'm going to go okay. 52.
49.
See, that would have been nice to know. I didn't know there was two of them.
I didn't know either. It just said Ronaldo. They should say Ronaldo. There's two here, Dr. Crane. Our last birthday, and Dr. Crane, you get to go second on this. World dart champion Michael Smith. Chase, you go first.
53.
Michael Smith is 44.
First of all, have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I have. He's black hair, has a beard.
Okay. And he's also not 44. He's 35. Okay. Chaser wins 5-2. Good job. You're down 2-0, 5 unanswered. That's how you win. Four quarters.
Thank you very much. With that, let's get to the mashup. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the station on the ones and two.
Patrick Yazbek.
Yeah, there you go.
Excuse me?
Patrick Yazbek.
Patrick who? Asback?
Yazbek.
Yazbek. Okay.
Australian midfielder.
Because that was, this is my grandpa. I'm like, get your ass back over there, boy. Whoever's dressed the best is usually has the best equipment. Yeah. Has the worst. It's the guy. It's the John Daly who rolls up at 12:59.
Sig hanging out.
With his bag he just picked up from Dollar General. That's the guy.
But for the surrounding Nashville area, we need a Vince McCauley.
Could you imagine? But can you imagine Ricky Merritt running a crossing route?
I can't imagine Ricky Merritt running across the league.
Man, I hope it is. Down the road from Graceland.
Greyhound bus ride is a must for a teen at least once. Definitely some characters.
He steps on the clutch and the toilet goes flush. Hail to the...
Shut up!
Oh, man.
Tim in Nashville. I made the mistake of buying a local ticket from Atlanta to Nashville my freshman year in college. I left in 1996 and just arrived back in Nashville last week.
The prime minister of, like, Norway.
Greenland?
He is a predator.
Oh, probably. Damn it! Okay.
He's a defenseman.
All right, Jack Mateer is my new guy. All right, Jack, show me some good stuff. Dr. Crane, you ready for this?
Cough, cough.
Well, you're 42 years old, and it says here you've never had a prostate exam.
Catch a strep, people. Bring him up. Bring your strep on. Let's go. Your father's up. Catch the strep.
X marks a spot.
The catch. Damn it, we rehearsed this. X marks the catch.
Yes, sir.
that.
Thank you.
You sounded so defeated. What else was I going to say? Oh, it's Chase and Big Joe.
That's it. Hi.
Live I'm, today. On
I'm Joe.
Thursday.
And your name?
It's hot. Oh, that was very, very good, Dr. Crane. That is going to do it for us today here on the program. DVD coming up next.
Yeah, as we always leave the show to our guys out there, we tell you all the time that we love you. If you're struggling, please reach out to talk to somebody. If you need to, immediately call 988 on your cell phone. Somebody's always there. Or we'll partner up with Unity Psychiatric Care right here in Middle Tennessee. Professional, affordable help that can get to you and help you change your life. It's secure. It's confidential. I just need you to go there. You know why? Because I need you in this world, because the world's a better place because you are here. Your value is so amazing. I need you to know that. Know that we love you more importantly, more than anything else in this world. God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. 102.5 The Game.